What's good, everybody, and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, September 10th, 2019. I'm Andrea Renee, joined by the legendary Space Rocks creator, Gary Whitta.
Thank you, Barrett. I appreciate that. For the last time. This is it for you and me, right?
I know, Gary. It's so sad.
I'm glad that we made an effort to make sure that we would host one last time together before you went off to your new adventures. It's good.
I know, and I'm so happy that you had such a successful weekend at PAX. We're going to talk about it in just a second. But, Gary, so you know, somebody wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and said, I can't believe Gary and Andrea have never hosted together, and this is their first and last time. And I said, whoa. Come on now.
Someone's not been paying attention.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Of course, you guys know this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, where we bring you the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can send us your questions, your squad ups, and everything else under the video game sun so we can set the record straight. Nope, that's the wrong line. For everybody watching on YouTube services.
Going out podcast, with a bang.
You guys, I was up way too late last night looking at dumb stuff on the internet. Just could not fall asleep.
Happens to the best of us.
I have a lot on my brain.
It
and then I had to get
the
up this morning. You guys might notice that Greg is not here and it's Tuesday, because normally Gary's here for what a Wednesday is, because Greg is at the Apple event in Mountain View right now. Barrett's got the event up on a side screen, so as soon as they start talking about the Apple Arcade
business. It looks like they might be talking about it right now.
Wait, really? No.
Yeah,
really?
Look,
well, let's go live to the Apple
event.
Let's
go live to Steve Jobs Theater.
All right, let's see what's happening.
Added every month. Get personalized recommendations, watch game trailers.
So this is going to be like the Netflix for games content, type service, right? Apple Arcade, am I remembering that right?
This collection maybe. Of awesome games. Supposedly, so yes.
You pay like a flat fee and you get all the games, I think is the general idea.
I'm so glad they're talking about this at the beginning of the show. Is there any way we can get a little bit more volume?
To show you a few today. First up are our partners at Konami.
Okay.
Who have delighted players.
Konami's up first.
Their next game.
Thank you, Barrett.
There we go.
Hit for the whole family. Please welcome Konami brand manager.
What's Konami got for us?
Plinko machines.
Yeah, it's gonna be pachinko for your iPhone.
I'm trying to think of what Konami is gonna announce on phones first. What do they have that would make sense?
Do you think it might be an existing Konami IP?
Yeah, definitely.
Together with Q Games. Konami could
Q Games, okay.
To bring our title,
Frogger.
Frogger.
Look at this!
Wow!
It's like Frogger in Toy Story.
It looks so cute.
Are you a Frogger fan?
I mean, it's classic, right? I haven't played Frogger in like.
I will never get tired of. I feel like Frogger is one of those timeless game designs that never gets old. Looks like they've done something fun with it here.
Okay, so he's playing it on an iPad.
Yeah.
Nice.
That is a fun and important part of gameplay.
Obviously, best way to play mobile games.
Do you know if they announced that these games are going to be on Apple TV as well?
That's the rumor that we thought was going to be confirmed today.
That's what we saw right before I pulled it up. They showed the games on like every...
On an Apple TV?
And I think they said they were going to make the Apple TV compatible with like regular game pads as well. Like, you wouldn't have to buy a special game pad.
There's a ton of game pads that are currently available for iOS devices on the marketplace right now.
I just want to use one of the ones I already have, though.
Yeah, you can do Bluetooth from a lot of your devices, but I'm not sure if you need a special piece of software. But look at those baby sunglasses!
Let's try to go around him.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a different take on Frogger.
Jelly beans from earlier? Well, when you collect 100, you won't.
How do you feel about it being more 3D than 2D?
I'm fine with that. The problem that I'm having as I watch is I've just never been that excited about touch controls for arcade style games.
All right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, like when you're swiping on the screen. I'd rather have a tactile controller, which obviously you can do. That's why I'm asking about Apple TV. Because
yeah.
I feel like I would get more out of Apple Arcade on Apple TV with a game controller, and they will. Like, it'd be nice to have it on the phone as well, but...
Frogger and Toy Time will be available at launch, and we cannot wait for
okay.
you to play with you.
Okay, did they say when launches?
Exclusively.
I imagine they'll do that last.
Thank you.
I'm hoping they're going to do one of those, and you can get it today kind of things.
Right?
I love it when they do that.
So I'm trying to take some notes here so we can recap this.
So we know we're getting Frogger.
Exclusively.
Next up is
on Apple Arcade, they said.
Capcom.
Okay, Capcom.
Okay.
You think this is going to be...
Mega Man?
The Tekken game that they were showing? Have you seen this card game that they've launched?
No, they have a card game?
Yeah, it's actually, it's like a Hearthstone-style game. They were doing it at PAX West. Alana Pierce was actually hosting the tournament.
Thanks, man. With Shinsekai Into the Depths, we set out to create a beautiful yet treacherous underwater world.
Oh, okay.
Into the depths.
The world above is covered in ice. You have no choice but to search the ocean below. This is humanity's last survivor.
All right.
You'll notice gauges at the top that indicate.
Okay, so we got platforming action here.
You'll need to be thoughtful and
careful. A little undersea platforming. Why not?
You can use thrusters to navigate or get to safety.
Okay, this kind of reminds me a little bit of Into the Deep, that game that Game Trust made with Insomniac.
Which is why it's ever
obviously the art style is very different, but
your oxygen levels.
It's pretty.
Lucky for us, our little drone is here to help us out.
So we think this is probably like a Metroidvania type.
To make it feel authentic and immersive.
Yeah.
In fact, we recorded music and sound effects underwater. Let's give it a listen.
All right, for everybody who's listening on podcast services, they are showing some gameplay. It looks like he's like in like an astronaut type suit, but he's underwater. Now there's a big sea caterpillar.
Yeah, it's like a 2D platformy deep sea diving kind
of
thing.
Yeah, like the 2.5D kind of
look, right?
Mastering shooting while thrusting will challenge even the most seasoned gamer. The underwater
this is the sort of thing you would play, Andrew?
Unpredictable attack.
I don't generally like these type of Metroidvania platformers, so I'm not sure. And doing it with touch controls
that's what turns me off. I'm just not excited about the touch controls. That's why I want the Apple TV version. Put it on a big screen. Give me a controller like a regular video game. And of course, then you can take it on the go if you want. That's the nice thing about it. But it's not the primary way I would play.
Yeah, Tim and I were talking yesterday about how I was hoping they were going to lean into games specifically designed for mobile. But so far, both of these titles that we've seen look like they're
console
adaptations.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love her skirt.
Our last demo is from Annapurna Interactive. Known for
they do some good stuff, Annapurna. Let's see what they got.
Their next game is truly one of a kind. To tell you more, please welcome Annapurna Interactive.
I'm really glad that they stacked the game stuff at the top of the Apple
event
today.
Yeah, so we didn't have to, they didn't know a whole bunch of shit about Apple stores have opened around the world, all that boring stuff.
We are teaming up with Simogo to bring their creative, ambitious new game to Apple Arcade. Sayonara Wild Hearts is a fast game.
Okay, so she said Sayonara Wild Hearts.
We like to think of it.
What's Sayonara Wild Hearts?
Oh, you haven't seen this yet, Gary?
Dope Switch game.
Yeah, so they have a demo up right now.
Okay, this looks like an Endless Runner.
Essentially, yeah.
In this level, our heroine is chasing after the scary
lovers. Yeah, the music is wild.
Between rhythm-based tapping and high-speed racing.
Some anime as fuck shit right here, and I'm into it.
Moving the camera. But playing as a perspective automatically.
See, now this is a game that could definitely work on mobile.
I was going to say, this is the sort of thing that seems better designed with touch controls in mind than the more traditional stuff that we've seen already, the Frogger and the Undersea game. This is cool. I like rhythm games. I like games that have cool music and you kind of play in time with the music.
And the neon visual style, like the pinks and purples and blues. Are super pretty.
Yeah.
The twins up the ante and transform their swords into a giant jet in an attempt to escape.
Hell yeah.
But our heroine has other ideas.
Would you play this, Barrett?
Oh yeah, I'm super excited for this one.
They've been showing this game for about a year now.
Yeah.
First time I've seen it. It looks good. I like the colors.
You said there's a demo up?
There is a demo?
Oh, I thought that's what you said.
Oh, no, I mean, they've been showing it at shows, at trade shows, so at E3, PAX, etc.
You're on a rail, I'm guessing, right?
It looks like it, yeah.
Really, I like the art style a lot. Trying to think what it reminds me of.
We hope you enjoy Sayonara Wild Hearts on Apple Arcade.
I like that these demos are quick. In the past, when you demo game stuff at Apple, I'll have some guy from Epic come out and give you like a 20-minute demo of a game, and it just gets so boring.
These three
just get the games in and out.
Join so many more amazing
All right,
developers
who we got?
Bringing new games to
this
Apple
is quite
Arcade
a list.
This year.
Devolver,
LEGO,
Raw Fury.
Cartoon Network.
Oh, it's gone now. Man, that was so quick.
Yeah, got to get a screen cap of that.
Somebody's got a screenshot.
September 19th, so that is 9 days away.
Next week.
That is next Thursday.
150 countries around the world.
150 countries?
What's the pricing?
100 new games to our launch catalog in the weeks ahead. So how much does unlimited access to all games cost?
$10 a month.
$4.99 is the rumor.
Just for
a
family subscription. That's actually really sweet.
They set up to 6 people on a subscription.
All right, I'm in. They've got for $5 a month. They've definitely got me in. Oh my god, my kid's gonna love this.
1 month free trial. Nice.
My kid is gonna love this.
We hope you have a blast playing all the incredible games on Apple Arcade. Thanks, and back to you, Tim.
No, they didn't say anything about Apple TV support. Or maybe they didn't.
Maybe they did at the beginning. Yeah, you want to maybe? I can maybe pull.
Oh no! Look, they're showing all the devices. Look, phone, laptop, iPad, and the big TV.
We can't wait to start playing when it launches later this month. Next up, let's talk about Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
All right, we can.
Thank
move
you so
on.
Much, Barrett, for cutting over. I'm glad that we got that at the top of the show. I almost feel like I should do the rigmarole again, but
good timing, Tim. Thanks a lot, Tim.
I do have to do the housekeeping though. So thank you guys for your patience. Of course, we did want to make sure we get that Apple announcement in at the top of the Roper Report, but we haven't even technically got to yet.
That timing actually worked out pretty great though.
It did. If I had only been on top of my business and we hadn't dallied at all, we might have been able to hit it exactly right. So let's just go ahead and dive right into housekeeping. It's my final week, as you guys know. I'm here today. I know it's sad. I'm here today with Gary, and then tomorrow is my final KFGD with Greg. I'm doing my episode of We Have Cool Friends. You guys can send in questions to patreon.com.
Oh, you're going to be the cool friend?
I am going to be the cool friend.
Oh, that's great. And then when are you actually on a jet plane?
Saturday. Well, actually not. We're driving down.
Okay.
So, yeah, because I got to bring the cats down.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to bring them on a plane. I also have my car,
Right.
I got to bring my studio PC. There's a bunch of stuff that I don't want to go on the moving truck that I want to hand carry.
I understand.
Important documents and things like that.
Yep.
So I'm also doing the Gamescast, which, of course, if you are a patron at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can watch live tomorrow at 2 p.m. That's going to be the original crew, me, Tim, Greg, and Fran one last time together. So it's going to be a long day of shooting tomorrow, but it's going to be fun. If you guys missed it yesterday, the game director for Destiny 2, Luke Smith from Bungie, was in the office, and we shot a very fun episode of We Have Cool Friends with Luke. It was me and Greg. Had a really great conversation, and that is up, of course, at youtube.com/kindoffunny or on podcast services. And we are excited to announce that Kinda Funny is partnering with Stack Up, an awesome nonprofit serving the active military and veteran gaming communities. They will be providing two lucky veterans from the U.S. or the allied nations from the best friend community a trip to attend London as part of the meetup of the Kinda Funny World Tour. So this is a really cool partnership that Kinda Funny is doing with Stack Up. If you are a veteran that's part of the best friend community and you want to be considered to be going to the Kinda Funny World Tour, you got to go to kindoffunny.com/veterans and complete the application. Two entrants will be selected and will be contacted by Stack Up around the end of September. So you guys don't have much time to submit your application. So again, kindoffunny.com/veterans if you are a U.S. or allied vet and you want a chance to win a trip to meet the Kinda Funny crew in London.
That's a terrific organization, by the way, Stack
Up.
I met those guys at PAX, and I had a conversation with them about how I can get involved and help them. And you should go to stackup.org and check out what they do. They do all kinds of amazing stuff to support active service and veteran military. That copy of Space Rocks that I just had you sign, we auctioned that for Stack Up. Somebody paid $500 for that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'm already trying to get involved and help them raise some money and some awareness. I'm glad that Kinda Funny is getting involved as well, because it's a great cause.
They are. We've had Dave Krause here on KFGD before. He's fantastic as well. And, Kinda Funny and both What's Good Games have done a lot with Stack Up in the past. So again, as Gary mentioned, stackup.org is where you can learn more about their mission. Thank you to our Patreon producers, patreon.com/re-retro-games, Blackjack and Muhammad Muhammad. And today we're brought to you by Hims, Manscaped, and Quip, but we'll tell you more about that later. For now, let's get into what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A very late Baker's dozen.
Indeed. And then that item number one, of course, is the Apple Arcade event, which we just watched live here on the show.
Do you want to do a quick post-mortem on that? Like what your thoughts are?
Yeah, I would love to. So just quick recap of what we got. Q Games and Konami came out and announced Frogger is going to be available exclusively on Apple Arcade at launch. Capcom announced Into the Depths, which looks like a platform Metroidvania type underwater game. And Annapurna Interactive announced that Sayonara Wild Hearts will also be coming to Apple Arcade. The launch date is September 19th, and it will launch in 150 countries with 100 new games to join the launch catalog by September 19th.
Did they say how many would be available on launch day?
They probably have that in a blog somewhere, or that might be a follow-up question, but maybe that's a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong for all of our our friends watching at Twitch.tv. Yeah,
if anyone was actually watching the keynote and paying attention, let us know how many games will be available on launch day.
Yeah, because she said 100 new games to join the launch catalog in the coming weeks.
Right.
So we don't know exactly what that means. But we did get the price, $4.99 a month for a family subscription, which I believe accommodates up to 6 people. And you can also try it for 1 month for free.
I think that's pretty good, $4.99.
Yeah, it's a great price. Because most mobile games generally average $1.99 to $3.99, I would say. With the more expensive ones, of course, going up to like your $9.99.
So if you only play one or two games a month, you're basically getting your... It's paying for itself, right?
In terms
of what you pay to buy the games.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great way to encourage people to explore the vast library of games on the App Store. I've always been a big proponent of mobile games here at Kinda Funny, and I think that there's a lot of really cool, interesting work being done there. And I would like to see more big publishers do unique experiences for mobile, not just porting games. I think it's great that a publisher like Annapurna Interactive is porting something like Sayonara Wild Hearts. That's what we were watching the demo. We said, hey, this makes sense for mobile, but I would like to see more big studios develop specifically for mobile platforms.
You touched on a good point. I do think it's going to be a great way to get people to sample more mobile. There's a lot of amazing stuff out there on mobile that a lot of us never play. There's a weird thing that's happened over the years. I think like our definition of value has become really, really skewed by like the free app economy. I look at games all the time. Oh, that could be cool. Oh, but it's $4. And I get weird over spending $4 on a game, even though that's a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, so I tip the pizza guy $4 or $5. I don't even think about it. But like $4 for a game, I don't know. What if I don't like it? It's $4. I've wasted. But if I'm paying $5 a month and I can try anything unlimited, I feel like I'll try many more games. And that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of people will sign up and then maybe forget that they have it.
Right.
And then, you know, hopefully we'll come back. But Apple supposedly has a whole team that's going to be curating games just for Apple Arcade.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what they do, because right now they have a team that currently does that for, you know, the App Store. When you pull it up, it'll have like the new and noteworthy and staff picks,
et cetera, curation is actually really good.
It is, but the real problem, though, is that there's just so many games that discoverability remains a major issue for developers who work in the mobile markets. So.
Right, and the fact that every game has its own price barrier, mm-hmm. right? A lot of these games don't come with... A lot of games are free with in-app purchases, but then I'm always also skeptical about in-app purchases in games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spend $4 to try a game because I'm just weirdly cheap about it. But if I'm paying $5... and the curation is, hey, maybe you'd like this, maybe you'd like that. Then I'll try a bunch of new games, especially if I can play them on Apple TV with my controller. My kid is going to like, my kid alone, it would be worth $5 a month for all the games that she'll be able to play.
It's interesting how it feels like everybody's getting into the subscription business these days.
Yeah.
But can the market sustain it all, Gary?
I mean, I think what Apple is doing is, I mean, you know, there's a big discussion to be had over on the TV side in terms of Apple TV Plus, Prime Video, Netflix, Disney Plus. Like, there's a storm coming. There's a big war coming. And my personal feeling is that Netflix will not survive that war. They will end up getting bought by Apple or Disney or Amazon or someone like that. Because if you think about about this big storm that's brewing, all the people that are coming up to the table, Disney, Amazon, Apple, have all got massive $1 trillion, you know, armies that they can bring to bear. Netflix doesn't have that. They have like a few billion dollars in VC money. They're going to get absolutely destroyed. My theory with Netflix, and I think Netflix is great, is that all the big content deals they're continuing to make, they're not preparing themselves for the war to come. They're fattening the pig for slaughter. Like they want to make Netflix be as valuable as possible so they can then sell it.
Mm.
And you've got to remember why Netflix is worth so much money. It's not all that amazing content. It's not just the brand name, which is both you know what I think the most valuable part of Netflix's property is? It's all the data in the analytics.
Right.
You get all of that too.
The subscriber base.
Oh my God. Not just the subscriber base, but everything you know about the subscribers, who they are, what they watch, how often they watch things.
How long
they're watching it for. That's mm-hmm. all information that can then get parlayed into, you know, Disney or Apple or whatever. That's my one-off theory for like the next prediction for the next few years is that Netflix will sell to one of the other big players for a lot of money.
I think this is a really good theory you have, Gary. I'm with you because it does feel like they're building an exit strategy. Because if you look at the lineup of stuff that they have coming down the pipeline, they just can't sustain the overwhelming amount of production budgets. They're like hemorrhaging money on production,
right?
So
Netflix doesn't make money.
I mean, they're like, as far as I heard last, Like, they're very far in the hole. Yeah.
And they just don't have the kind of war chest that Apple and Disney and Amazon do, because they're backed up by these much bigger companies. Netflix, that's all they do, is a streaming service. That's their whole thing. Do they send them? Maybe they still send discs in the mail. I don't remember.
No, they don't.
They don't do that anymore?
As far as I'm aware, of course,
back in the day?
Oh, yeah. I got Netflix discs all the time, because streaming wasn't a thing. And if you were able to even stream something on Netflix, it was constant buffering.
Yeah.
And it was like, it would just buffer like every like few minutes. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, and like all they had was like That 70s Show.
But like, what Apple is doing.
Yeah.
But what Apple is doing with Apple Arcade, there's not a lot of, it's not like every, usually what happens is everyone else is doing something, and then Apple gets in with their offering. And their offering is usually better and more polished and has a better brand, and so they end up winning. But I think that I think Apple is actually the first mover. Like, who else is doing this kind of thing? Like, you know, like unlimited games for a subscription that, you know, that they're going to run all your devices, and they're all like top tier games. I think this is actually a pretty new thing that Apple is doing.
I mean, the closest thing, of course, is I would say Xbox Game Pass.
Right.
Right. Especially with the PC integration, being able to play. And once xCloud launches, if Game Pass is part of xCloud, which I believe is going to be, then that to me is the real competitor for Apple Arcade. But also, those are different gaming experiences. Most of the things you play in your phone don't rival something you would play in your PC or your Xbox One. Right. Right. So I think it's a different type of game for potentially a different type of gamer, or it's a additional experience or added benefit for people who like to play both types of games. Someone like me who loves my Xbox One and who also likes to play games on my phone, I would absolutely pay for both, because I think the value proposition is there and it's worth
it. I mean,
it.
I wouldn't expect to be playing Gears 5 on my iPhone, but you know, that for a while now, the games that you can play on an iPad are as good as anything that you'll play, like Cuphead or anything you'll play like from the indie side on Xbox. I mean, they're at that level. Mm-hmm. The idea that I can play a game on my TV, and then I imagine this is how it'll work. I imagine they have like cross-platform continuity, right? I can play Frogger at home, go take a bus ride, pick up my iPhone, and presumably pick up my game from where I left
off.
Most
games do connect to Game Center that way.
Right.
So you have your Game Center login, which is tied to your iCloud account. And so if you connect if you're logged into Game Center while you're playing a game, for the most part, the vast majority of games have implemented a cloud save system, so you can pick up. But I don't believe that's a universal feature baked into the platform. I think that developers have to opt into that. So that's another kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if you know the exact details on that. But that's my understanding of what I've experienced when I play on mobile. But I also don't swap between games. The only game that I've really swapped between my iPad and my iPhone recently has been Legend of Soulguard, and even that I haven't played recently because I was on my Lego Tower kick forever, and then I was like, I think I reached my maximum capacity and needed to take a break. But speaking of subscriptions and cloud-based gaming, our next two stories are all about that. Well, we were just talking about Apple, so let's talk about Google Stadia. They are going to offer game trials after launch. Matt Perslow over at IGN writes that Google has stated its intention to offer trials of premium games on its Stadia streaming service once the platform has been launched. Talking on a recent episode of StadiaCast, Stadia's head of product, John Justice, explained that trials are high up on the list for Google's plans after the cloud service launch in November. Quote, I think if you look at our plan to make as many people be able to try this as possible, you want people, whether they're already on Stadia, to let them go discover new games, new things, stuff you haven't tried, he said. And then also people who, if you haven't given it a try, we want to let you jump in as easily as you can. So I think both of those things are trials we want to support. Public perception of Stadia is currently mixed, with a lot of hesitation coming down to the perceived instability that may result due to relying on cloud rather than physical console lag. Dropouts and bandwidth are all problems associated with streaming video, and it's natural that people may fear how this could affect gaming. As such, it seems a sensible idea to allow people to try both the service and games in order to allow them to see if Stadia is a worthwhile investment. Stadia itself will provide a free of charge base version in 2020, so presumably trials of Stadia itself would relate to the pro version, which provides 4K quality gaming. Stadia Pro subscriptions are set to offer some games as part of the package, but many games will require a standalone purchase. This makes game trials all the more attractive, and combined with the free base version of Stadia, creates an effective demo situation.
What do you think about Stadia? Hit or miss. Make a prediction.
Well, I've been on Camp Miss for a long time. So I mean, I have since it was originally announced. Everyone who watches KFGD knows this. So I went out of my way to make sure to talk to the Google Stadia team at PAX West this year.
They had a big booth there.
They did. So they reached out and said, hey, do you want to come try Mortal Kombat 11 or Doom Eternal on Stadia? And I said, yeah, I'll come see. I've heard nothing but good things. And so I played Mortal Kombat for a few minutes on the phone. And I was like, listen, I know that this game is going to look good. I know that you guys are locked to this very specific demo situation in the convention center because of the way the internet is set up. You can't really do like a trial like you would if I was like in the lobby of a hotel.
How do you know that's really simulating real world conditions?
You don't. So what I'd have to do is take their PR team at their word that they constrained the internet to 25 megabits per second, which is what they told me they did in the demo. The game looked great, played great. Personally, I don't want to play a game like Mortal Kombat on my phone. The controller, to me, just didn't feel the kind of...
How are you playing it?
I was playing it with the Stadia controller.
But then how are you doing that and also looking at the phone?
So they had it on a stand.
Okay.
So there's a lot of... I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of accessories
little
that...
Little gizmos that attach the phone to the controller.
Exactly, because they already exist for phones right now that attach controllers. As you can have a stand for your phone or you can get like a kickstand, etc. So that's how I was playing it with it on the phone. But the thing I asked them... So I asked them a number of questions. My biggest question, of course, was... How is the controller going to work with input lag versus a Bluetooth? I said, do you guys have data around whether the latency issues between your Wi-Fi-based controller and Bluetooth-based controllers that already exist, like a DualShock or an Xbox One controller? And they said, no, we don't have data on that we're sharing at this time. My guess is they have the data. They just don't want to share it. I'm sure someone like Digital Foundry is going to be first on the ground to make sure that those numbers get tested once Stadia Pro launches in November. So that was a question I had. I said, if you're going to push a game like Mortal Kombat where input lag is absolutely critical for the competitive scene, or really even just people who are playing against each other locally, nobody wants lag on a fighting game. You know, that's something that consumers are going to want to know about. I wanted to test it, you know, in a variety of factors. I asked them a bunch of questions about the Wi-Fi security. I said, so what if Gary and I are sitting at the same table and we both have our iPhones, and we have Stadia running, and we've got our controller side by side. Is there going to be confusion with the Wi-Fi controllers communicating with our phones?
Did you actually say Gary and I? Because that was kind of that's sweet if you were thinking of me like that way. Like, what if Gary and I wanted to play games?
Well, I said Lexi and I because one who was in the demo booth with me. But what they said is that your Google controller is going to be tied to your Google account.
Okay.
And so hypothetically, if everything's working as it should, your controller should only communicate with the account that your controller is associated with on the device that you're logged in as.
Right.
But you can be technically logged in your Google account on multiple devices at the same time. So there's just like a lot of questions that I had that really they weren't ready to talk about yet, or we're just going to have to wait and try it once the game or in the platform actually launches. So, I really wanted to see the UI. I said, can you show me the marketplace? Can you show me how I'm going to be able to buy games?
Right.
Because it's launching in a couple of months and they showed me none of it.
They didn't show you any of the UX, the front end?
No.
Okay.
Nothing, Gary. I mean,
I've seen like mock-ups of that. I know that they have shown some of that stuff.
Yeah, but that's why I wanted to see. Like I said, if you guys are like 60 days out, hypothetically, from launch, 60 to 90 days, like your UI has got to be hopefully mostly locked so you're in polish phase, but they would not show me any of it. They're saying, we're not demoing that today.
Did your experience at PAX and the demo and the whole thing, did it change your perception of it at all?
A little bit. I think for me, I'm on the fence of Stadia of I really want it to work.
Right.
I really want it to be awesome. I really want it to be successful. I want it to work as best as it can. The thing that I took away from my conversation that made me feel better about it was that they are working as hard as they can to get that megabits per second bandwidth number as low as humanly possible. They said, you know, it's our priority to make sure that this works on as many internet systems as possible and that it works with as many different ISPs as possible. We want people to have the best streaming experience. And like the tech is super cool. Like one of the things that I really thought was neat about it is this idea that if you buy your game on Stadia, you never have to download a patch again. There's, right. there's no waiting to install new things. There's no copying to your hard drive. None of that.
Everything's instant, which is great.
You boot up Destiny 2 on Stadia and bam, it's just always available, always ready. You're never downloading additional things ever. So I think that's a really cool proposition because I know we've all wasted hours of time downloading updates. And so the idea that I never have to worry about that is pretty cool. So I really want it to work. I really want it to be successful. I just, you know, I'm just skeptical. But I think that they're going to have a little bit of a rough patch at the beginning. And that's to be expected whenever you launch a brand new innovative technology like Stadia is doing. I want to see more. And that I'm just concerned that we're this close to launch and they weren't showing me any of the actual platform. They just showed me a game I've already seen.
Right.
So
I think that ultimately they're obviously going to put a lot of marketing dollars behind this. They're going to do a lot of snazzy you know, stuff to really kind of push this on. Ultimately, I think a lot of that's not going to matter. It's going to launch, and it's either going to work as advertised or not. And that's going to be the story. Like day one of Google Stadia, all the headlines on Polygon, Kotaku, the kind of stuff that you'll be talking about on Kind of Funny is either going to be, oh my God, they did it. It works. It's brilliant. Like even on a mid-range internet connection, it's flawless or not. And that's ultimately, and you know, out of the gate, that's not necessarily the be all and end all. You know, sometimes it takes a few months for these things to find their feet. I still remember, you know, every single MMO that comes out, every big online game that comes out, shits the bed right out of the gate. Right, don't play a big online game on day one because you're going to be waiting. WoW Classic, we're all waiting in queues again. You know, like this stuff happens over and over. They never seem to solve that problem. So I have a little bit of an insight. I don't mind me sharing this because it's positive, but I have a little bit of the inside track I have from Google and from the Stadia people is that their engineering, and again, this is obviously just what I'm hearing from, so of course they're going to tell me this, but they're very confident that their engineering is just phenomenal. And it will meet or exceed expectations. Like on day one, you'll go, holy shit, it fucking works. Like this is flawless. That's what they're telling me they're confident is going to happen. And that had better happen because, again, if it doesn't, all the marketing dollars in the world won't save them.
Right. I want to believe that to be true because I love Google products in general. Like when you boot up Gmail, it just works.
Right.
Right. When you use Google apps and Google interfaces around the web, like the stuff, it just works, you know, and like it's very rare that I pull up Google Maps, for example, to get directions somewhere and like Google Maps isn't working. And usually if it's not working, it's not because Google Maps is down. It's because my internet connection is down. Right. So I'm with you that I think of all of the people who make technological products in this world, Google is best equipped to do
something. There's three or four companies in the world that can do this, and Google is one of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's cross our fingers, Gary, that it's going to go flawlessly.
I'm in at the founder's level. I bought the founder pack. I'm
we
the sucker.
Too, yeah.
We'll give it a try. Again, I'm with you. I want it to work. I desperately believe that because I think if it does work, it will be a huge game changer. And xCloud and everything will come behind it. I think if this is the way that we play games in the future, no patches, no installing, just boom, it's there and you can play it anywhere on the go. It's going to be brilliant. And we'll look back on where we are. How did we ever play? Remember when we had to install games and wait for patches? Like, what were we thinking? I'm hoping that this is going to be the new normal. I just wish that it was the Apple Arcade model. And for what I paid every month, I got everything. I don't like the fact that I have to pay a subscription and then buy titles a la carte on top of that.
Well, they're going to include some games in the subscription service, very much like PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold.
Right.
But they just can't. There's no way that they can give games for free on Google Stadia. It's just not possible. Think of a publisher like Take-Two Interactive. They're never going to give GTA 5 away for free.
Right.
Like, there's no amount of money that Google could probably give Take-Two, short of, like, $5 billion or more. Even that seems low for how much GTA is worth. Will they be able to pack in a game like that into their service? Same with Call of Duty, you know, same with FIFA. Those franchises are just worth too much money on an individual unit sale basis.
Yeah.
So that's just, it's not going to be possible.
No, I think you're right. I'm probably wishing for too much. So my hope, my more realistic hope then is that even though like the top tier games will always be a la carte purchases, just like they are on every other platform, that it's the same as like they said, the comparison that you made is PlayStation Plus Xbox Game Pass, that whatever the games that come with the subscription, I just hope that there's enough of those to make it feel like you're getting something for the subscription.
Absolutely. I'm with you that they need to bring the price of the 4K entry level down eventually. I understand why it's high at launch.
What are they charging right now?
So you have to pay for Pro, which is $14.99 a month.
Okay.
So if you think about it, after your first year, you've sunk $180 into the platform to play games in 4K, which you can do on, you know, both Xbox One and PS4 right now. That's part of the included price when you buy the console. So I think that's the thing that they're going to struggle with in year two when, you know, the new consoles come out in 2020, hypothetically, is like, how are they going to continue to justify paying for access to 4K gaming when it's built into the other platforms already?
Right.
I think that at a certain point, they're either going to have to grandfather early adopters in, people who, you know, got the Founders Edition, or they're going to have to lower that monthly subscription price for 4K access. That was my kind of big gripe, is like, I can't believe that they're, you know, kind of gatekeeping 4K behind, you know, this subscription price, unless they're going to add all of these extra bells and whistles that you get along with that price, you know, per month.
The other,
because $180 a year is not an insignificant amount of money.
No, it's not. The other way to look at it, and this is the scenario that I'm sure Google would prefer, is if it does work as that, if it does meet or exceed expectations, and people are blown, oh my God, this is the new way to play games. How can we ever go back? Mm-hmm. And then a year later, the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Scarlet come out. And if they don't have something similar, if they're whatever xCloud or whatever, I'm sure PlayStation's working on something as well. If they don't have something to offer that, those machines are going to look antiquated out of the gate. People are like, why would I go buy discs and install games when I'm like, boom, instant over here. That would be a win for Google if they can pull that off.
Well, Gary,
again, it's either going to work as advertised or not, and that's all that matters.
Yep. November, you guys.
November.
That's when it all happens. Speaking of cloud gaming, our next cloud gaming story, Electronic Arts launches surprise cloud gaming test. Colin Campbell writes this up over at Polygon. Electronic Arts is running a public 2-week test of its streaming game service Project Atlas. Beginning tonight, which was yesterday, Monday at 10 p.m. Pacific time, players who sign up for the test and who are signed up to EA's retail portal Origin will be offered a chance to play 4 EA games via the cloud: FIFA 19, Need for Speed Rivals, Titanfall 2, and Unravel. In a post on Medium today, EA's Chief Technology Officer Ken Moss wrote, "We'll be taking an important step in this learning journey as we host an exclusive external trial for our players to experience games streamed through EA's cloud technology." Last year, Moss unveiled Project Atlas, a unified publishing platform that includes cloud gaming. Moss stated that more than 1,000 people are working on the new technology at EA, which he describes as an engine plus services platform. The new trial is available to users of various platforms, including Mac, smart TVs, tablet, PC, OTT, and smartphones. So OTT is essentially like those apps that you find on a variety of your other devices. "Our goal is to gather more inputs at scale to test performance and quality of service in a variety of network conditions and on multiple router routing scenarios." While this particular trial will be focused on cloud gaming on PC, we're also working to understand performance across multiple other devices. Most importantly, we are here to learn how to improve and enhance the cloud gaming experience for our players. And BJ Bernardo writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. He says, "Hi, y'all. With EA dropping their own cloud gaming service, I got a question. Are we likely to have the cloud gaming market be just like our streaming TV market, i.e. Netflix, Hulu, Disney+, etc., where we just have way too many subscription services? Or do you see Stadia, xCloud, and another taking over the cloud gaming space? What would it take for one or a few of the cloud gaming services to establish dominance over the others? Thanks and good luck in LA, Andrea. And Gary, never leave us, you beautiful man."
Aww.
What do you think, Gary?
So this is their Stadia, basically?
Sort of. It's different because they're not pushing it as a hardware and platform complementary service like Stadia is. Like, a lot of Stadia's kind of bells and whistles around the controller have to do with connecting directly to, like, Google Assistant, connecting to YouTube, connecting to your Google account, and really, like, merging all of those services together.
Right.
And obviously, Google ads are going to be served to you based off what you're playing. I have no doubt whatsoever. So I don't think that part of it EA is going to be bringing into the fold. But, you know, Andrew Wilson did talk about this at EA Play last year, which, of course, for the record, I hosted, disclaimer. And so when it comes to EA's cloud gaming service, I actually don't know very much about it. They've been really holding their cards close to their chest on this one. So I think it's interesting that they just kind of like Like, surprise, you want to try it out? Here it is. It's an interesting mix of games. I think it's smart of them to put FIFA in there. Obviously, they're our most popular franchise worldwide. Something like Titanfall 2, which has a lot of, you know, fast-paced mechanics and latency is important, especially in PvP. And then a little indie title like Unravel is an interesting choice, but I'm glad they tossed it in there too.
So, I mean, but it's similar to Stadia in the sense that you're decoupling the game from the need to have like a specific piece of hardware sitting on your TV. Right.
Right. So the idea would be that if you're playing cloud gaming, like let's say you have an Origin Premier account or whatever. I don't know how they're going to bundle in the cloud services. They haven't talked about it at all. Hypothetically, let's just like go down a road where you get this premium account with EA Access or EA Origin, and then you get access to cloud gaming. You could play on your phone, on your PC, on your tablet, just like you would Stadia as well.
Right. I don't think, to BJ Bernardo's point here, I don't think... I'm not doom and gloom about this. People going, oh my god, too many subscription services. I think what we're going to end up with is basically just an online version of the kind of television that we grew up with. And what I mean by that is instead of ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, you'll have Netflix, Disney Plus, Apple Plus, Amazon, and then those will be like your four main networks. And then beyond that, you'll have your little cable channels, like, you know, more specific things like, you know, Shudder and BritBox and Criterion Channel and things that, you know, specifically are for people that have a very specific taste. But I think, yeah, the NBC and ABC, they're all eventually going to go away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you turn on the TV and it's like, well, what's on Netflix? What's on Apple TV? What's on Apple TV Plus? What's on Disney Plus? And it will just be a different kind of the same shit we grew up with.
Yeah, I think this idea of, you know, the fragmentation of media is really just allowing people to pay for the things they want and not packaging in filler. I don't think you're going to end up saving money in the long run unless you only like watching one or two specific things. But if you like a wide variety of things, like if you're like me and you like watching the NFL and you pay for NFL Sunday tickets, digital pass. And if you have, you know, going to have Disney Plus and Netflix, and then you want to watch the shows on Amazon Prime, it's like, by the time I add up all of my monthly subscriptions, it's almost as much as my cable bill, just minus the DVR fees, because that was the first thing to go when we were switching cable companies. It's like, we don't even watch the DVR anymore.
And then
you've
got to put your ISP on top of that.
Because everything's on demand. Yeah.
Then you've got to put your ISP on top of that as well, like actually paying for the internet that gets you those services.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were paying for that regardless. Even if you had cable, you still had to pay for your ISP on top of that.
Well,
so.
I mean, I ditched Comcast last year and switched over to Sonic. I get gig internet for $40 a month.
And that's impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal. And I pay for... I probably pay for like seven or eight different, like the main ones, Netflix, you know, Hulu, Prime. I mean, Prime obviously comes with Prime that we get anyway, right, for the free shipping and all that shit. But I pay for a few other smaller ones like Shudder and BritBox and some of the more specific one things, just things that I specifically like. I've never added it up, but I guarantee you it's less than I used to pay for Comcast, a lot less.
Oh, yeah, because you're part of your Comcast bill is baking in the cost of the hardware that you're renting from them, right? So if you get rid of that, you definitely save. But I think my point was that there's so many subscription services now. We were just talking about things you watch. We didn't even add in, you know, Game Pass, you know, PlayStation Plus, Apple Arcade, all of these other gaming services that a lot of people who watch this show also pay for on top of all of the things you just mentioned.
I've never actually done it, but I think if I took a real inventory and looked at everything I pay for, because I have Game Pass Ultimate, I have PlayStation Plus, I have, you know, all the obvious Netflix
and
a few other like things that I pay for, a couple of subscription services I don't need. I pray to like have them, but like I've gone months without using them.
Right.
And if I added it,
that's
all
how they get
up,
you, Gary.
Apple Music for family plan is $14.99 a month, and it all. If you said me here, if somebody did like the full inventory and said, "Here's what you actually pay," I'd be like, "Oh shit, that's a lot." Yeah. It probably adds up to more than I realize. Yeah. But that's how they get you, because you're only paying little bits at a time. You're not thinking about what the overall bill is.
Exactly. Now you're unless making me want to go check my bank account. Well, see if you're
a sensible person, like, do you balance your checkbook? Do you like have like good family accounting at home? Do you know what your incomings and outgoings are?
Well, because I have to balance the books for two small businesses,
right,
I have to manage my budget pretty closely. But when it comes to my personal finances, I'm not as diligent about balancing the books every month. I usually check in once a quarter or twice a year, and then I have like a long sit down with my QuickBooks account and, you know, reconcile everything. So
are you the financial brains of the family?
I am. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, it's not John, is it?
No. Well, listen. John is way smarter than I am. John is the best at math. I'm actually like really terrible at math unless I have a calculator in front of me.
I'm the same. I can't even do basic arithmetic.
He can do crazy math, like just like out of the blue. Like you give him like this wild number and he's like, he does the calculations. It's like a beautiful mind. And then bam, he just like does it. He's really, really good at math.
But who is the more financially prudent of the two of you?
Honestly, he, one of the things that was really attractive about John is how fiscally responsible he was.
Really? Wow. Even with all those shoes?
Yeah, even with all those shoes. You know why? Because he works an ungodly amount, Barrett. Yeah, that's his real fair. Problem is that's that fair. He works way too many hours. And because of that, he treats himself with fancy sneakers. Mm. As he
he's
should.
Working it. Way too many hours, self-care. Playing too much way too much Beatles Rock Band, you know.
I know, but it was all for the kids, though, for Extra Life.
No, I'm just giving shit.
If you guys missed it, by the way, John was featured on the Giant Bomb stream where they celebrated the 10-year anniversary of Beatles Rock Band over the weekend. Fantastic game.
Beautiful.
And so a lot of the harmonic scene was posting memories. And so they did this long stream over on Giant Bomb raising money for Extra Life. So
it's so funny. I hadn't thought about it in a long time because the 10-year anniversary happened. I remember thinking, holy shit, like I went out and I bought the fucking George Harrison guitar that came with it. There was an extra one for Beatles Rock Band, and I remember like they did a phenomenal job on Beatles Rock Band, and I would love to read like maybe someone did it, but I would love to read like a whole oral history of like the making of Beatles Rock Band sometime, because especially with a property like the Beatles where they're so protective of that license and how it's represented, you know, that to get Yoko and everyone on board, it just seemed like that. It seemed like a phenomenal achievement, and then for it to be a great game as well at the end of it, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, no, I can't say enough good things about that game. But Gary, we've been going pretty long here today, so Barrett, why don't you ping Tim? I'm going to do this I'm going to do this last story really quick in the Roper Report. KFC is apparently creating a Colonel Sanders dating sim.
All right.
Nicole Carpenter over at Polygon writes that yes, the fast food restaurant is reportedly working on a video game with developer PsyOp. The fried chicken connoisseurs are releasing a dating simulator. I love you, Colonel Sanders. A finger licking good dating simulator is the name, you guys. I'm not making this up. The game popped up on Steam this morning as coming soon. From the same people who brought you the bucket of chicken comes the world's first Colonel Sanders dating simulator, the description reads. I love you, Colonel Sanders. A finger-licking good dating simulator will put players in control of a promising culinary student who's studying alongside a young Colonel Sanders. While looking for love, you've got to make it through the culinary school too. If you're lucky, Colonel Sanders might even take you on as a business partner. Of the 9 characters, there's also a dog who is also a professor at the culinary school.
Fuck yeah.
So KFC says that there are multiple hours of gameplay, a secret ending, and recipes. There are cooking battles, 11 herbs and spices, and plenty of cute miniature food. The listing reminds potential players of a few times that, yes, KFC really did make this game. Neither KFC nor PsyOp have responded to Polygon's inquiries before publication time. The companies haven't posted anything to social media yet either.
I like it.
Yes, and to clear this up, Bortson00... because he wrote in and clarified his name, says, good morning, Andrew and Gary. Want to hear your guys' thoughts on the KFC getting into the video game market. Why is this a thing? But, like, I know KFC is big in Japan, but still, why?
I'm all for it. First of all, I love KFC. As anyone looking at me, as anyone watching this on video can probably tell, they probably need me to tell you that I love me
Gary,
some...
Gary, you're a beautiful person. What are you talking about?
I do love me some KFC chicken. I do actually think it's the best fried chicken. I know there are many fried chicken connoisseurs out there that will disagree with that, but I love those 11 herbs and spices. I do love me some
crispy
some kernel. No, yeah. Original. You like crispy?
Yeah, crispy.
No,
Tim,
no,
you want to get in on this debate?
Spicy crispy, baby.
No,
crispy!
No. Mr. The Dreamcast is overrated. You have lost all equity with me. Like, your opinions mean nothing to me anymore.
No, they're good opinions.
I used to have so much respect for you, Tim. Yeah. All pissed away in a moment on KFGD yesterday.
Dreamcast
all gone.
Has like two
all
games,
gone.
Gary.
You're going to have to work very hard to get respect back with me. But I love KFC, and I love weird and wacky dating sim. Like, this is a big trendy genre right now. Stuff like Dream Daddy. One of my favorite games at PAX was a game called Later Daters, which was a dating sim set in a retirement home.
Oh, I saw
home.
The photo, Gary.
Oh, my God. I dressed up as an old lady to get a pin. It was great. It was actually a really cool looking game. You know, there's a cat dating sim out there, a monster dating sim.
The best friends dating sim with the dog owners.
Right. And this is the next. And it also kind of reminds me of when Burger King got into the video game market for a while, where like you could get
Sneak King
and stuff like that. And
the weirdest fucking
game.
Yeah,
that was some weird shit. But some of those games are actually kind of cool.
Well, Gary, how Colonel Sanders is going to find love remains to be seen. I would normally do a segue here into new dates, but because we're running so long, this is where I tell you that you can write in to be part of the show for reader mail at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can also get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, we've got some partners here.
Oh, is Tim coming on camera
Tim's
to do
coming
this?
On camera.
Because I want to tell you guys about Manscaped, our sponsor for today. Support for Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who, Gary, guess what, is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming.
Wow. Yes. This is going places I didn't expect.
Yeah, below the belt. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. You like that?
Go, keep going.
You like that? We've all been there, right? We're down there trying to keep things clean. You get that little nick, that one nick you'll be thinking about for months. You know what I mean? Those days are over. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts.
Why do you keep looking at me?
Because you got nuts! And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using down there. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on your balls? You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com.
Wait, I'm supposed to be putting deodorant on my balls? I'm 47 years old. No one's ever told me this.
Well, here we are. It's 2019. I can get you a deal, though. Don't worry, Gary.
Hook me up with some of this shit.
20% off plus free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code GAMES. We got a delivery here, and the back room is fighting over who gets it.
You've actually got some of the stuff back there?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to take a look.
Yeah, maybe you'll give it to Gary.
This feels like a KFAF waiting to happen.
Oh, no.
You guys are going to test it out live?
Live product demo?
No, please don't touch your balls
on camera. I'm actually guessing, as luck would have it, my guess, and I don't know why I think this, my guess is that Nick and Andy are probably the two hairiest fellows in the Kind of Funny lineup.
Speaking of hair, Nick and Andy have noticed that their hair was thinning, Gary, and they decided to do something about it.
I bet it's not thinning down there, though.
They went to 4M.
I bet it's lush and vibrant down there below the belt. It's a jungle down there.
Don't put the images in my head. Hims is a wellness brand for men that helps you deal with all the awkward problems you don't want to make an appointment to talk about, but apparently we could talk about here on Kind of Funny Games Daily. 4Hims.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products to help treat hair loss. There are prescription solutions backed by science. Hims was created by a guy who knows some men's health conversations are easier online than in person. No more awkward in-person doctor's visits or long pharmacy lines. 4Hims connects you to real doctors online, which could save you hours. Completely confidential and discreet. Answer a few quick questions and a doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. Order now. Now, Kind of Funny Games Daily listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today while supplies last. And of course, subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost you hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. 4hims.com/gamesdaily. And Quip is the best way to ease back into your post-summer routine, because that's right, you guys, September is here and summer only has 1 week left. Simplify your morning and evening now with the simpler electric toothbrush from Quip. Nearly everyone here at Kind of Funny is using Quip. Greg just got back from Dallas with his. I just got back from PAX with mine. Why are we using it? Well, because Quip has got sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums. Gary, did you know that most people brush their teeth too hard?
No, I didn't.
It's true. Got to be gentle on your gums and your teeth. Quip's got a built-in 2-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help clean your whole mouth evenly. Plus, there are no wires or a clunky charger, and it runs for 3 months on a single charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. A friendly reminder when it's time for a refresh and to stay committed to your oral health. Those are just some of the reasons that we love Quip here at Kinda Funny. We talk about Quip all the time. It's great. But we know that you guys can see Quip in stores, but it helps Kind of Funny Games Daily if you use our special promo code. Plus, we're going to give you that first refill pack for free. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get that first refill pack for free, as I mentioned. That's getquip.com/games. And now, Gary.
Yes.
People's oral health routines. Need some improving, but that's so far away until they get their quip.
Oh, come on, that's weak.
I know, Gary. This show's all over the place today.
Usually you wouldn't come out of an ad into this, right?
No, because we're very far behind.
This is a higher degree of difficulty segue.
Normally we'd be in You're Wrong by now. Yeah. But today, Gary, I need to know what's coming to the Mom and Grab digital shops. Where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform. Is this about the kind of funny games any show hosts each and every weekday?
Yeah. All right, here we go. The Walking Dead, the Telltale Definitive Series is on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Blasphemous is on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Mac.
Utawarumono.
Zan.
What the heck is Zan? I don't know what that is. Somebody write in and tell me what that is. Greedfall is on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Gears 5 is out on Xbox One and PC. eFootball PES 2020 is on PC, PS4, Xbox One. Caravan Stories is on PS4. Gun Gun Pixies is on Switch. Silver Knights is on PC. Ribisco is on PC. Misfire is on PC. Age of Grid is on PC and Mac. And Red Dead Online, The Frontier Pursuits is out. This is the latest update for the Red Dead Online. Introduced 3 new Frontier Pursuits, the next step in the continuing evolution of Red Dead Online. Frontier Pursuits are a transformational addition to Red Dead Online, offering an ongoing series of specialist roles for players to inhabit and new directions to pursue, with a wide array of themed activities and new items and abilities to unlock as you progress, deepening a player's connection to their characters that carve out their own place on the frontier. You guys, this is a giant update for Red Dead Online, and I cannot possibly put all of the details in. If you guys want to know the full details of all the cool new things that they have added to Red Dead Online and the Frontier Pursuits, of course, head to Rockstar's website. With the Tekken Thieves in the Past 3's arrival, which is today, Zafina is here, and it's the first time she's joined the battle since Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Now she's back in action for players in the Americas to enjoy on their PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC via Steam. New dates. The Evolution board game, the turn-based strategy game of adaptation from Northstar Digital Studios, adapts to the Nintendo Switch ecosystem in early 2020. To mark this event, the title is holding its biggest sale yet, with 40% off the game on current platforms, which are iOS, Android, and Steam. And Square Enix announced today that Star Ocean First Departure R, the HD remaster of the classic sci-fi RPG, will make its digital debut on December 5th for the Nintendo Switch system and PlayStation 4. Pre-orders include a commemorative PlayStation 4 theme and a digital music soundtrack for the Star Ocean Live 2019 concert. Deals of the day. Independent game developers Chris Bryan and Chris Hernandez are raising money for multiple sclerosis charities. All revenue for the super rad ray gun on itch.io for the month of September will be donated to Can Do MS. So if you guys want to help out a good cause and play a game, head on over to itch.io and download Super Rad Raygun.
Is this what it's like for people who listen to podcasts on double speed?
Yes. Do you ever do that? I do sometimes.
Yeah.
And imagine if they're listening to it on double speed while I'm talking really fast.
I understand people that do that. Do you do that?
Yeah,
really?
I do sometimes. Only sometimes when like the conversation's like dragging a little bit, I'll like speed it up just to like get through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I like the 1.25 speed. The 1.5 speed is really pushing it. 2x speed is just bad.
It's impossible.
If you want a good laugh, slow us down to half speed.
Yeah.
You sound drunk. It's really funny. It shouldn't be this funny. All right. So since we don't really have a whole lot of time for reader mail, Gary, you want to look through these and see which one of these?
Where is reader mail? Is it at the back here?
It's at the back. Okay. Yeah. I would say maybe Ignacio Rojas or maybe Billy the Door or Fendi. One of those three is probably where I would go.
Okay, let's do Fendi because it's the shortest one.
Okay.
I haven't read it though.
Fendi says, "What's a Widow Wednesday without some pizza bets?" Technically, it's not Widow Wednesday, it's Widow Tuesday, but The Last of Us Part 2 media event is officially on September 24th. How about one last pizza bet on whoever gets the closest release date for the game? Now, some might say, "But Andrea's in LA," and then I would say, "Well, a post office exists for a reason, doesn't it? Listen, don't send me pizza in the mail. You can just order a pizza to be delivered to me."
So, exactly. It's September 24th when they're going to announce The Last of Us 2 release date, do you think?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's essentially the first time I believe that press is getting hands-on with the event. So I have requested to be present at the event since I will be in LA.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I want to do Billy the Doors as well.
Okay.
If I can.
Okay, sure. So what's your guess on a release date for The Last of Us Part 2? For a single pizza party? What are we doing here? Two pizzas?
I would say a single pizza.
A single pizza.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially now that we have the complication of living.
You have
in
to come up
cities.
With an actual specific date because that seems awfully specific.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready, Gary.
Well, let's hear it.
March 20th.
March 20th, 2020?
And is it whoever gets closest?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
March 2020. Isn't that the same date as Animal Crossing? New Horizons? Because that will be an epic clash if so.
I am going to go with... April 24th, 2020.
Okay.
I'm going to go for the Friday release.
All right.
April 24th, 2020 is my guess.
Did The Last of Us 1 release on a Friday?
I'm not sure.
I always forget, like, PlayStation's way of doing it, if they do Tuesdays or Fridays.
The Last of Us release date was June 14th, 2013, which was a Tuesday, I believe.
Okay.
Gary.
I'm going to be very bullish. I'm going to say January 20th.
Oh. 2020.
Okay, wow.
January.
I was kick off the new year with a bang.
Yeah, I was scared someone was going to go like before my date. Yep.
Yeah.
Are we doing Price is Right rules? Closest without going over?
So without going past it, you mean? You
correct.
Can only be before it.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Or do you want to just do closest?
Just do closest.
Just do closest. But what if people are the exact same number as a date on each side?
Then it's a draw.
Then we owe each other.
You get to split the pizza?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Billy the Door.
Okay, here we go. Billy the Door.
Just the last two paragraphs.
Yeah, so Billy wrote in about the Apple event. And he says, but the news that's really rocking the industry is concerning number one Twitch streamer, Gary Whitta. Everyone is asking, did the mastermind of Space Rocks ride into KFGD yesterday extolling the Dreamcast? Would love to hear your thoughts on the console after Tim so carelessly dismissed it.
So I wasn't watching Games Daily yesterday. I was busy doing something else. But
you
somebody
were in
on
the chat, though.
So what happened was someone on Twitter mentioned me and said, hey, you should know that Tim Geddes is right now shitting on the Dreamcast on KFGD. So, you know, I slid down the bat pole and got into the kind of funny chat, and I missed it. But so I said, hey, did I just miss Tim shitting on the Dreamcast? Oh, yeah, he was just saying it's overrated. And I was like, fuck. So I did. That was me that wrote into kind of fun. Thank you for reading my You're Wrong yesterday.
Of course.
That was me that was writing in. Tim, of course, is wrong. Here's the problem. I love Tim. I really do. But I can't take his opinion on the Dreamcast series. What was he like, fucking -4 when the Dreamcast came out? Like, how can he hold an opinion on that? I was 27 years old when the Dreamcast came out. The peak of my gaming years. And I remember it fondly. I bought it on day one. Still remains. I did a whole stream last night over on my Twitch channel. We played a trilogy of classic Dreamcast games. Crazy Taxi, Typing of the Dead, Space Channel 5, Soul Calibur, Ready to Rumble. I have so many, even NFL. The NFL 2K was the first game I ever saw where I was like, holy, like I actually did a double take. Like, holy shit, was that on TV just now? Like, it looked that good back in the day. Go back now, it doesn't look that great compared to like Madden now. But back in the day, it was the first game that looked truly next gen to me. And you remember what we had at the time was like the PlayStation 1 and the N64. Like, game, like those consoles looked shitty. Like the fuzzy, bad, jaggy 3D, the PlayStation 1, and then there's a reason why the PlayStation Classic did not do well. It's because you go back and look at those games now and they just look terrible. Nobody wants to revisit that era. They just don't. And so the Dreamcast for me felt like the first true next-gen console. I love that it did weird and crazy shit like the fishing controller and the VMU. It was one of the first consoles to actually offer online play. They were doing amazing, amazing stuff with the Dreamcast. I said on the stream last night, if I could change one thing in gaming history, I would go back in time and make the Dreamcast a huge hit. Because I wish we had a Dreamcast 2 and a 3. I love that they were doing something different. There's not enough different stuff in the games industry these days. The PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, they're basically the same thing. Nintendo's the only company out there doing anything different. And before them, Sega were trying to do something different with the Dreamcast. So it breaks my heart that the Dreamcast wasn't a bigger success, but I'll always have fond memories of it. 20th anniversary, very, very special to me. Tim Geddes doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
I'm just going to ask you this one question. If it was so great, why didn't it succeed?
I mean, there are lots of great things out. I mean, you know, there are lots of great things out there that didn't succeed. There are lots of shitty things out there that are super successful. Mm. You know, I think.
Like the Vita.
You've got 60 seconds to finalize your point.
I would actually love to read like a really in-depth analysis of why the Dreamcast didn't do well enough to succeed. All
PlayStation
I know is
2.
It was a great machine. It had great games. I love the fact that 20 years later it's still fondly remembered. And people like Tim, you're not helping.
Bam. There you go. All right. This is now the part of the show where we go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where our friends over at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames let us know what we screwed up as we screwed it up. The nanobiologist writes, Gary is correct. Apple Arcade is under one subscription. All games will not have in-app purchases, nor will they have ads.
I like it.
So that's great news.
Yeah.
Nanobiologist also writes that on the Apple Arcade website, it jumps from the iPhone to the iPad, Mac, and Apple TV, and you can play offline with 6 family members to 1 account.
That's great.
That's great news. He also wrote up a full list of all these developers for me. Thank you so much.
Did they say how many games it's launching with? Because that was something we asked for.
It was just the same thing that she said on stage there, 100 games being added to the catalog.
But no, we don't know how many on day
one. September 19th, number unclear.
Okay.
DJ Canto says, Netflix still mails discs. I still do 3 at a time. Best way to get rarer movies.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, and a couple other people also wrote in confirming that Netflix still has a disc subscription, which is great. Corey G wrote in and said that we had missed a date. Call of Duty Modern Warfare is getting an open beta for PC users September 21st through the 23rd. If you pre-order, you can start on the 19th. Love you guys, and Andrew, you'll be missed. Oh, thank you. Let's see here. Ignacio Rojas is clarifying that you don't need Stadia Pro to buy games. I don't think we said that you need Stadia Pro to play games in 4K. But I'm hoping that they'll give you discounts when you buy games with that Pro subscription.
They should.
They should. It would be nice. At least 10% would be good.
Yeah.
The nanobiologist says there were 3 games released by Burger King for $3 a piece: Pocket Bike Racer, Sneak King, and Big Bumpin'.
I had them all.
Cody J says it's pronounced Utawari Rumonozan.
Okay.
Utawari Rumonozan. Utawari Rumonozan.
I would have loved to have heard Greg try to do that one.
It's so hard. He says it's a hack and slash based on a visual novel SRPG. So right. Sorry, I messed that up. Nanobiologist says yes, Animal Crossing New Horizons does release March 20th, 2020. And a bunch of people write in to confirm that June 14th was a Friday, not a Tuesday. So that is Friday release date for the original Last of Us.
I'm still feeling good about that March 20th prediction.
Yours feels right.
No.
Yeah.
What, you did April 24th?
I did Friday, April 24th, 2020.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think my January thing's going to hold up. You never know.
You never know.
PlayStation doesn't release big games like that in January. I think it has more to do with their marketing budget cycle than anything else, but who knows, yeah. Gary?
No, it was probably a dumb bet now I think about it. I'm locked into it now. I'm not going to try to change it.
It's
you
okay.
Never know.
Good news, Gary. If I lose, you get pizza anyway. So it's really like...
Suits me.
Who's going to win here, me or Barrett?
So if you win, someone's going to have to order you a pizza for
you know,
LA, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Maybe get your pals DiGiorno to send you some pizzas in LA.
Maybe.
It's not delivery.
We'll see. It's DiGiorno.
Exactly. All right. And that'll do it for this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow, it's Greg and I for my final Kinda Funny Games Daily.
I'm not ready.
I know. I'm not ready either, Barrett. Oh, I'm sad about it. And then Greg and Tim close out Thursday and Friday. Gary, this has been lovely.
I just want to say, Andrea, it's a pleasure to know you.
Oh, thank you.
It'll be a pleasure to continue to know you, even though you'll be 500 miles farther away. I'm sure we'll still see lots of you.
You come to LA all the time.
Of course. I'm there. Well, that's my day job. I'm not there all the time, but yeah, I mean, next time I'm in LA, I'll come by and see your new place. And
yeah, we can grab dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wish you and John all the best.
Thank you so much, Gary. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Of course, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames is where you can support everything we do here at Kind of Funny. But stay tuned, because you know that In Review is coming up next if you're watching live on Twitch. And for now, Gary, it's been a pleasure to serve.